Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worth it.
Hi, I'm Imri, the host of the Wannabe Podcast, a podcast that takes you from where you are now to where you want to be in 30 minutes or less. Apologies that this episode is coming out to you a little bit later than I had planned. I actually ended up missing a plane and having to get back a little bit later, but it's here now and it is an incredible episode. I also have a quick announcement and reminder for you to register to get your tickets for So Live Fest 18. This year, we are focusing on radical women in podcasting. The lineup is sickening. We have Anita Rani, Sophie Hagen, Fiona Sturgis from the Financial Times, Crystal Genesis from Stance Podcast, myself, of course, and the girls from Not Another Book Podcast will be doing some things. Oh, and the BBC's No Country for Young Women will be making an appearance too. This is not the time to miss out. On July 14th, make sure that you have registered to get a ticket, because they are so limited. Like, I don't think you understand how limited they are. So make sure you head on over to solivefestival.com, solivefestival.com, and make sure you register so when the tickets go live, you get it right away and don't miss out on a ticket. Right, this week I am joined by Yersa Daly Ward, who is a poet, writer, and model. Yersa first wrote on Snakes and Other Stories and followed up with Bone and her most recent book, The Terrible, which is published by Penguin. And it's a memoir. It's a fantastic read and I highly, highly recommend it. In today's episode, Yersa talks about the pros and cons of self-publishing your work because Bone was a self-published title. We talk about dealing with the press when they are telling your stories and the pressure to say no sometimes. And that's more of an internal pressure that we talk about. You're going to love it. I really enjoyed this conversation, so I hope you do too. I wanted to ask about the process of self-publishing, because Bone was self-published first.
Yes.
And I know that you and Naira Wahid, I hope I said her name right.
You did.
Are good friends, and both of you have self-published. And now you're obviously published with Penguin.
Yeah.
What are the pros and cons of self-publishing versus going traditional?
Oh, I absolutely loved being self-published. As being self-published, I was able to, first of all, your timeline is your own, so you can write the book today and put it out on Amazon by tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know? And you have a direct, I mean, you can do all of the sort of advertising on, if you, it depends on how you use your social media, but that was what I essentially did. Mm-hmm. Now, it does take a lot, because I was unknown before. It took a lot of time, you know. I mean, I guess a con, I don't even know if this is a con, but for some people it would be the amount of time, like you don't have that publicity machine with like all the, you know, the banners and the, you know, so is people will find you, and then yes, you're still doing podcasts and you still, but it happens slower because they have to stumble across your work. And in terms of outlets, it could only, I think this is about to change with self-publishing. It's because we're just heading more towards an independent, you know, world in terms of art. But I, you know, you can, your distribution is limited. Like I could, my distribution was limited to Amazon and some smaller outlets, but I would go and physically like send a box of books and then I'd have to replenish. But that's a lot when yeah. you're a writer, like touring and everything. If you've got more than like 10 bookshops and they're all in different parts of the world.
Oh,
and
wow.
it's expensive too.
Yeah.
So the beautiful thing about then, I think it just happened perfectly because I already had like my, because it was like grassroots and, you know, just there on this little book that I've made myself. And then I used to do shows and just have boxes of them and sell them.
Nice.
It was great. It was great. You know, you get paid monthly, like you get your royalties, and it's so different in publishing because it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So it was gorgeous. Then it got to the point where I had a certain amount of just had the support and then able to be seen by Penguin. And then it changed because your needs changed, because a lot of the time people in Africa weren't able, which really upset me, weren't able to get their hands on the books because Amazon, ridiculously, it didn't, for some reason, it didn't go over there.
Yeah.
But now that they can. So that was a big factor as well, just the distribution and people being able to have access to it all over the world, because everyone should have access to books.
Yeah.
I love the fact that it could go to the next level in terms of where it can travel to in the world. And also in terms of touring as well, you can just do more when you're not organising it all yourself, because it was all a solo act, which is great. But to do admin and still be creative and to write, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
Like you can really burn out.
Yeah.
So then you delegate those responsibilities to someone who's like an expert at it, you know, usually if you're lucky. And so pros and cons to it, certainly.
Yeah,
it's nice to do both, you know.
It would, I think, because you met Sarah yesterday, who I think everyone thinks they know in some capacity.
Yeah.
She has honestly been everywhere. they did talk about the pros and cons of self-publishing and just the industry or the wider publishing industry treats people who are self-published. And something that they mentioned was that people kind of didn't take writers who self-published seriously. Did you ever experience that at all?
All the time.
That's kind of snobbery around it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's self-published. So, yeah. Oh, really? Self-published? Oh, that's cute. You know, expecting you to have this little book that's like stapled together, you know, held together
like a
zine. With solitaire. Yeah. Those people were not ahead of the curve, because there's some brilliant, I mean, small presses as well, which to me is like it's like professional self-publishing. It's like, you know, I think it's brilliant, actually.
Yeah.
I like what they come out with. They often have like really good designs and concepts, and yeah, I love all of that.
Yeah.
I do.
I'm really enjoying it. I've had a few self-published books like drop on my doorstep lately.
Oh, amazing.
And like fall in my lap. And one of them I really love is, it's called Founding Women, which is about African female entrepreneurs who have built like multi-million dollar companies on the continent, and they're in tech, and it's like super badass.
I love that.
And I was just like, what? This is sick. I was reading it like, why did I not know about any of these women?
I would love to see that book.
I have it in my bag. I'll show you after.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's amazing. And it's self-published. And I did say to, because it's one of my mentors, she put it together, and she was like, should I go to a publisher? And I was like, well, I know loads of people in Penguin. Do you want me to introduce you to someone? She's like, actually, I think I want to go self-published.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. And she did a crowdfund for it, and then she put it out. And I was like, well, the crowdfunding was a really good way to see that people had interest in it and everything like that. So that was really cool. But yeah, I'm definitely like, I don't have the same like level of snobbery around it. I'm just like, a good book is a good book.
Yeah.
So as long as it falls into my hands or I see it and I know what it is, I just bought someone's book off Instagram.
I love that.
And that was self-published too. So yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. It's like, it is, there's a whole trend moving in that direction.
Of course.
And it allows people to just create what they want to create. And I think
it does. Yeah, you don't want it to be filtered through anybody else sometimes. You've got a message
Absolutely.
And you just want to, directly speak to your audience.
Right.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times. to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worth it.
I actually want to switch to something I saw on Instagram, I think, yesterday. So I know that you got featured in the Sunday Times and you were not happy about that headline. And I'm not going to repeat the headline because I would rather not give more things oxygen that you wouldn't like. But I did want to ask about what made you upset about that. And, you know, did you feel confident speaking out about it in the way that you did?
Oh, definitely. Well, it was the Times, not the Sunday Times.
Sorry, my bad.
But no, not at all. It's, you know, you always, when you're going to tell everything in a memoir, you've primed yourself. You know, like, what you're saying and what you're not. The danger sometimes with news outlets, and then we know this going into it, right? We have to know, is that when there is a different gaze placed on your experience and your work, and you are looked at with a speculative eye, then you know some of your humanity is lost, you know, because they see the product, they see, you know, they exotify you, especially, and I'm going to speak especially in with UK press. Yeah. It does that, you know, it does that. There's no nuances. You can't really, on the whole, trust a lot of the journalism that's happening, and you can't control it at the end of the day. And what I was responding to is an article that was about me, but not about the work, you know, not about the work at all, and the work. But this has happened before, you know, the work as seen through a particular gaze, very middle class, you know, very white, and very writing it for shock value. You know, which is, I'm not interested in, you know, there has to be a grace and a beauty when you are discussing certain subjects. There's frankness, there's rawness. But I, you know, I write a specific way, and I make a choice when I'm writing, when I introduce certain subjects, it's in a certain way. And it's in a respectful way, not just to myself,
but to
other people in the same position. But of course, you're not going to get that from someone who is inexperienced. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of lazy journalism. You know, a lot of it is without imagination. So I'm just happy that, like, in the book, you know, you come to read the book and you say, oh, you know, it's not this sensationalised thing that's been pulled out that's totally out of context and weird and actually really inaccurate when you look at that, how that's reported and what's in the book. But, you know...
Yeah, I read the headline and I got to the section of the book and I was like,
yeah,
how?
It doesn't... It's so,
it does
it's,
not correlate.
It was so ridiculous. But more important, it was important to call them out.
Yeah.
It is important to call them out. When that happens, you know, we can tell our stories now. When I say we, I'm talking about people who have previously been part, you know, had a marginalized identity and voices that aren't heard. Mm-hmm. So it's very important for us to be able to frame our own stories. And when you do not... When that doesn't happen, that's a result. So it's good. It's good that it happens, because then you can write about it and start a larger conversation.
Yeah.
Here's a cool fact: a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact: you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
other people can see it and go, okay, I might not do that, you know, or I might not. I'll challenge it when it happens to me. That's important.
I agree.
Because it does happen.
It's one of the biggest things that I'm coming up against now, personally.
Really?
Just because audio is very unique and very specific as an industry, and it has been traditionally dominated by white men.
Yeah.
Like, not even women, just white men.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that I'm seeing, but I'm wary of, like, calling it out just because I don't know. Like, my position still feels precarious, right?
Yeah,
like, I feel like I can be swept away and not replaced, because I still run my own thing and I will always be creating content that I care about and from people I care about hearing from. So in many ways, I probably am in a better position than most people who are a lot smaller than me in some ways. But yeah, it's a fine line, because I see things and I'm like, oh, I really want to call you out. I'm gonna cuss you out eventually. But I think for me, I'm still trying to find that part of my voice where I'm like, I need to say this and I feel confident saying it. Do you think I should just push through the fear of, like, not saying anything, or just do it anyway?
You know, you always know. You always know at the core of it what you should do. And I'm lucky to be in a position where, yes, I'm published by Penguin, but I'm quite independent. So I'm an independent entity. So if I choose to put that on my Instagram, then no one's going to say, don't put that.
Yeah.
Don't put that on, you know. It's not... It's hard, I think, when you're in the environment you're talking about. And I can understand putting myself in that position, because there are certainly moments, I bet, that you see and you're just like, oh my goodness. Like, do I speak out, or is it going to be like more of a thing? But then I need to. But then you feel the responsibility of wanting to and like almost needing to. But then you're like, no, but it's not smart because of this. And sometimes there's biding your time. You know, because it does come around.
Yeah.
And you know, because you won't not be able to say the thing.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, it's getting to a point where it's almost like it's forcing its way out.
Oh, well, then
so
it's ready.
Small spits are just...
Small.
Just a 1-2 tweet here, just a little uppercut there.
And it's good for your mental health as well. Yeah. You can't hold things in, you know, especially That's in true. These environments. It wouldn't be good for you.
I hear that.
Yeah.
I'm waiting.
Yeah.
I know when I'm ready, but maybe that's not the time, but we'll see.
Yeah, you'll know. Just trust yourself.
What are you working on getting better at right now?
I'm working on getting better at making time to do the things I really want to do. And that came a lot from being able to say no to people and things, because there was a feeling, especially with publishing, and sometimes you're like, oh God, I have to do this because this person's asked me to do it, and oh God, I need to do this interview and this interview and this podcast. And actually, if you run around doing everything, you will, you could be completely, you'd have nothing left. So you have to learn to do that. And then with the time I've got and the time I've amassed by not saying yes to everything, really prioritizing my own, like, creative life and my own social life in a way that I feel like lots of things are getting done. I'm living a full life.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, not just work, and then not obviously not just social, which never happens because I'm a total loner anyway. But yeah.
Oh, that sounds like goals. I want to get to that level where I have like time to do things that I want to do, which is mostly sleep and watch Netflix. So
yeah, well, that's important too. That fills you up, you know.
That gives me so much life. I just like watching TV and reading sometimes.
Yeah,
but yeah, one day that will come.
Absolutely.
What does success look like for you right now? Like, when do you feel like the message or the message that you're putting out into the world, when do you feel like it's out there and your work here is done?
Ooh, well, it will never be done, because that's the whole thing. You've got to stay ambitious, and ambitious not in the sense of I want to earn loads of money and like be, you know, touring 24/7, but that like kind of always looking for like a new, I always like the fact that I'm always like, ooh, let me think of this project. And I've got like 6 million things. I'm probably not going to do half of them. But I love like just being in the bath or something going, ooh. Or yeah. like when you go to bed at night and you sit up and you like turn the lights yeah. on, you're like, yes, I'm going to do this. This is my next venture. I love that.
Yeah.
So that. So I never think it's over. But success just looks to me like when you meet people at events and like a bit like yesterday and people yeah. go, I really enjoyed that. That spoke to me. That's what I love and that what I aim to do with the work.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. So beautiful. Your work is fantastic. And I know that, I think her name was Sheila with the grey braids. She was just like, afterwards, just like still in like freak out mode, just how nice you were and how lovely you were. And Sarah was living at this video that you did for her friend. And I think those moments, like you can't buy or quantify or put like a number on those moments that you create for somebody. So yeah.
Oh.
You're definitely yeah. you're definitely like walking it like you talk it, like you're just such a nice person. So.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks
thank
for you. Being so genuine and authentic.
Oh, that's so nice.
Do you think there's anything holding you back at the moment?
The only thing that would ever be holding me back is myself. And of course, I have a moment, probably really deep belief systems that I'm not aware of. But every day, you know, with the gratitude, with the meditation, you're working on that. Because there's some things that are in us that we don't know, you know, just, you know, from conditioning or from, like, early experiences. So I'm always trying to, like, just be really good to myself. So, yeah, probably there are moments of doubt that or inhibition that if I didn't have, you know, I could do even more. But I think that's coming. I don't think anything before time, you know. I think everything's happening as it should in the right time.
Yeah. How are you working towards pushing through some of those things? I guess when you don't know what you don't know, how do you?
You know, our bodies are just like, they're more intricate and intelligent machinery than I think we know. So you could be working on something in like your deep self. And I think sometimes it just comes up. You know, like in the same way that sometimes when people are doing yoga or have a massage, they just start crying, or Reiki, yeah. they just start crying. And it's like you didn't know that there was that pocket of tension or a pocket of, you know, and it's some trauma. But your body knows to work it out. So we've just got to trust that. Because, you know, your body knows how to swallow food. It knows how to close back up if there's a wound, you
yeah.
know. In the same way, it knows how to. But because we're so, there's always new stuff and we're always distracted, you don't have to. That's why meditation's so good. Because actually, when you meditate, your physical body heals as well. Because you're not using, you know, you're totally clear and it's able to start just doing its thing and we get in the way of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think not to worry too much about it. Just do the stuff that makes you feel good, you know?
Nice. Simple.
Yeah,
That's really all it takes.
It always comes back to simplicity, yeah. you know? Yeah, I think it does.
Taking minimal to life, you know?
Just
bring it over.
Yeah.
I like it. I need to do better at that. I'm, like you were saying earlier about saying no to things. I'm terrible. I say yes to everything. I'm like, yes, I'll do that. And then I'll do that. And I'm like, I have 15 things to do.
Yes.
And I think one of the things I've learned about myself is that I don't, like, I'm addicted to the feeling of being, like, rushed or in chaotic situations. Like, I function well in chaos.
Yeah.
Even though it's inherently not good for me in many ways. But that's, I've just become really addicted to that feeling. And I think it was RuPaul who said something similar on Oprah about he had to change the fact that he used to run late all the time.
Yeah, I saw that. I really liked that.
Yeah, I really loved that conversation. It was a beautiful conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, this, and it really kind of reframed how I just looked at my life, like, wait, I'm always late for things.
Yeah, you identify with this just rush thing.
Yeah, that
but
rush.
But like everything's done, yeah.
And just feeling like completely chaotic. And I didn't even know that was something you could be addicted to. So that was, I was like, oh, I have to really kind of look at that and, you know, think about where that even came from and how I can then start unpacking it so that I don't live that way, because life would be a lot easier if I was able to get up like half an hour earlier and actually eat breakfast, for example.
Oh, my goodness.
So
I cannot do anything without a good plate of food in the morning.
Wow. I don't eat. I forget to eat often. I actually always
don't you
to
wake
eat.
Up hungry? I wake up oh
I'm
my god I wake
hungry,
up like with my stomach rumbling.
I actually I guess partially because I had like some eating issues in the past, like when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
I actually am very good at ignoring the feeling of hunger.
Yeah.
So it has to be really severe. So there can be like 2-3 days I'll just forget
to
eat. And it's really bad. I should stop doing that. But I've now got like a nutritional food supplement, which is like powder and water.
Oh, wow.
So just in case I forget, I actually can just put powder in some water and actually get my nutrients.
Well, you know, I think that like mindfulness and meditation is going to help you with that, because you'll start to come into your body and you won't be able to ignore it.
Yeah.
You just think, oh, I need to... Even if it's just like a banana or something.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I need to have this. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting better at eating. It's definitely getting there, but yeah.
Yeah, it's going to come. It's going to come.
I need it to come because I'm trying to be thick. I'm trying. It's kind of working.
I love it.
Go and get a copy of The Terrible. It's a quick read and it's totally captivating from start to finish. On Wednesday's episode, we talk about telling the stories of others in your work, the power of meditation, and you know I love me some meditation, and the process of writing a memoir, and so, so, so much more. Follow Yersa on Twitter and Instagram at YersaDailyWard. That's YersaDailyWard. And please do follow her. She posts some incredible short snippet poetry on her Instagram pages as well, which is really beautiful. If you like how this podcast is made and you think you can do what I do, then you need to reach out to the Shoutout Network. To find out more about membership, visit shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. Better yet, if you want to learn a little bit more about podcasting, make sure that you head on over to solifefestival.com and register to get your ticket to Shout Out Live, Radical Women in Podcasting. It is going to be all female panels, all female lineup, but it's welcome. Everyone is welcome. Men are allowed to be present at this festival. It's just that we're going to be focusing on women's voices in this event. And it's going to be an incredible, incredible day. So make sure you register at solifestival.com. If you're enjoying this podcast, please do leave a rating and a review on iTunes. That is truly, if you are not giving me physical money, how the show grows. So please do support the growth of the podcast. If you want to see it come back, make sure that you leave a rating and review and keep me motivated to keep putting out great content for you all. Be sure to follow Wannabe on Twitter and Instagram at Wannabe Podcast, and make sure you leave comments and likes and retweets all over the timeline, because I love seeing it and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you next week. Bye.
In a time of disruption and fragmentation, there is opportunity to not only survive, but thrive. Now more than ever, it is important to understand how the U.S. is performing on the global stage. With over 600 correspondents in more than 50 countries, the Financial Times offers a unique, independent, and truly global guide to the world's new agenda. Visit ft.com today to learn more about the Financial Times.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.